We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. A lot going on in the world of the NBA. We've got another playoff matchup all set. We're going to break that down. We'll talk a little Celtics and Bucks. We've got some news to get into first. And I guess where we should start, Nikola Jokic. Well, we don't know for sure if he's the MVP or not. I think he's probably going to be. But we do know that he's going to get a lot of money this summer and did confirm that he will sign that deal with the Denver Nuggets. Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. No drama here, really. Nikola Jokic, they get eliminated by the Golden State Warriors, and he just says, yeah, I'll sign the Supermax. Like, no big deal. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, clearly this will be offered the minute they are able to. It'll be, I wouldn't be surprised if it's already printed up and just needs, or typed up, I should say, and just needs some figures thrown in as they know them. And then he'll sign that. Just to be clear, he's got one more year left under contract at $33.6 million for next year. But so this will kick in after that. So when they do that, they'll be able to add 4 years onto his deal. So it'll look a lot like what Joel Embiid did a couple years ago. So, that's where that'll go. So, yeah, he's going to be in Denver long term. And how this will work is they'll put it at whatever the max salary is. He's already eligible to jump the tier because of winning MVP last year. So he'll jump up the tier to the top tier a couple years earlier than he should have. And then that'll be where it is. And that, my guess is, that'll take him through the vast majority of his career. Not that he's, close to done by any means. I mean, this guy's still winning MVPs and, he's only 27, but this will have him covered well through his primes.
Now, this is something that's interesting to me, is that the max tiers, the max players, these guys have a percentage of the cap. That's what their salary is. Correct. So if you've got a guy like Nikola Jokic and then the new TV deal comes in, while he's still on that contract and he's getting a percentage of, like, he could see not just the NBA revenue wise would see a boost, but these guys that are on these kinds of deals, his salary could go up significantly when that happens.
Pending when that pops in, that's the challenge. If it pops in later, then, because this deal will start with the 23-24 season, I think the TV money might be the next year. I think I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to go back and research that. But yeah, what it could end up doing is he could end up being kind of underpaid compared to what some other stars are going to get, right? Because if it starts and it's locked in, it doesn't adjust.
I thought it would adjust to what the new revenue was.
Nope. Okay. Yeah. Nope. So the first year salary will be 35% of the cap, but that'll be 23-24 if that new TV money, which I think kicks in 24-25, kicks in then. So we'll see. Now, we're going to have some CBA negotiations coming and things like that too. So maybe they do change some language there. We've seen some grandfathering of stuff happen. We've seen them allow extensions differently. So maybe they would allow a reworking or something like that. But regardless, he's going to make a whole lot of money and be in Denver for the foreseeable future.
And great news for the Nuggets. And they've already shown a willingness to spend to keep this team around. So you know what? Yep. Here we go. Nikola Jokic sticking.
Three players next year will make at least $30 million on the Nuggets. So Jokic, Murray, and Porter. And then they've got Aaron Gordon at 19, Will Barton at 14. So So they're in, you know, a couple smaller but still good sized deals. So they're going to be up over the tax, which is not a place they've generally been. But that's such is the price of building a good team. And I think with those guys back, they'll probably fancy themselves as a finals contender.
I believe so. Some good news: Devin Booker on the mend. Yeah, could be back. The Suns could certainly use him. We've been saying this. I think that they still handle the Pelicans even without him. Right now, up 3-2 in the series.
Despite them not handling them,
no,
very
not easily,
easily,
but I mean, I think they get through. Devin Booker back soon, could even be back next game. So I think that's important, not just for this series, but for moving forward, that you get him back, get him ramped up and ready to go. But again, if I'm the Suns, I'm also being very cautious here because hamstring injuries, we know they're notorious for lingering.
Yeah, that's the challenge, right? You have to get the timing right. You don't want to wait too long because then maybe you're in a series you didn't expect to be in. But you also don't want to bring them back too early because then we see a lot of times guys aren't right and they end up right back on the shelf. So that's the important thing here for the Suns. This is also my guess is there's some thought maybe he plays in game six tonight. We're recording this on Thursday. So maybe some thought he gets back for game six on Thursday. But if not, then for a potential game seven or game one of the next round. But you'd like to close out tonight and not have to go that route. Let him, you know, if you could close out tonight, that's probably the best. Get him a couple more days of rest and then go from there. And then you see where their opponent series goes with that one. But yeah, it's we're going to find out. Yeah, well, a little bit here, you know, going forward with Devin Booker. We'll know a little bit later today.
That's right. Be interesting to see what happens there. Hopefully he is good to go. It's always nice to see players get back from injury. There is another injury that I want to get into. But first, I don't want to forget to mention this. We are going to be doing our own play-by-play during some playoff games. Now, you've heard of the Manning cast. This is going to be the front office cast. I'll put the link in the description for this video here over on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast version, just go check out the YouTube video, and the link is going to be in the description for our room, and you can come join us over on Playback. Keith and I will actually be live doing play-by-play for some of these games, and realistically, our play-by-play, it'll probably devolve into some of our typical conversation as well. We're not going to call every single moment, but the cool thing is you can watch the entire game directly with us. It's a lot of fun over on Playback. If you're coming over from Lakers Nation, you've seen us do this for Lakers games in the past. Now we're doing it for front office. Believe we're going to start things off with Grizzlies and Wolves tomorrow night. So that'll be a lot of fun. Come join us for that. You can chat directly with us while we are all watching the game together. And again, we're all on the same feed, so it's a ton of fun. Again, use the link in the description below. Go get into the room early. These rooms are capped, but Keith and I will be on there tomorrow night doing Grizzlies versus Wolves. So highly recommend that you guys come check us out for that for the front office cast.
And pending how the game goes, right, we'll take questions about all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, we'll have a lot of fun with this and figure it out. It's new for us, so, or at least very new for me. I know you've done a couple for Lakers games. So, yeah, but we're going to have some fun with this and have fun, and no better game
absolutely
than Grizzlies-Timberwolves because that series has been absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. So I can't wait to do that one. All right, let's talk a little bit about a team that just got eliminated by the Bucks, the Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine, unfortunately, is going to have to undergo offseason surgery. I don't think that this isn't going to affect his free agent market at all, though. I mean, he's still, I would expect him to stay with the Bulls. But yeah, no, you're not great. The Bulls get eliminated, and now we find out that Zach LaVine's going to undergo surgery here.
Yeah, there's now been some kind of after the fact reporting that has come out along the lines of, you know, this was worse than he was letting on. He was playing through things and those kind of things. And that's it kind of seemed like that's where this was heading. He just never really fully looked right. So I do, think this is going to be a major challenge for Zach LaVine, and rough time, you know, awful timing because he's right headed into free agency, major payday. I don't think it's going to impact anything. If you're going to give him the max before, you're going to give him the max anyway, but definitely, not great for him. But my guess is, he still gets whatever he was going to get from the Bulls. They keep that team together and move it forward for at least one more year, because I think there's a sense with the Bulls, I'm curious to see if you agree or not, this season feels a little incomplete, because by the time they get to the playoffs, you know, they didn't have Lonzo for basically the whole second half of the year. They were without Caruso for a lot of the year. LaVine was banged up. It was just a lot on DeRozan and Vucevic's shoulders. So I kind of feel like if you're the Bulls, you feel like, we saw, you know, where this went, but then it went we saw how this could go, I guess. But then it kind of went sideways on them. So I just feel like it's almost an incomplete year.
It really is. I mean, injuries derailed this team. At the beginning of the season, we were looking at this team and saying, this is one of the most fun teams in the NBA. They're flying up and down the court. Their offense was crisp. Everything was great. And they just couldn't sustain it. And I think injuries were a major part of that. So, I mean, I'm going to keep an eye on this team for next season. But I am really curious, and I'm sure all the players are too, to see what they could be if they had full health.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's it. You know, you hope for better health next year and get back at it with a re-signed LaVine and flesh out your depth a little bit differently around your main guys, and off you go. And then, you know, see where it takes you, because this was one of the better teams in the league before the injuries hit.
All right. The Pistons are hoping to re-sign Marvin Bagley to a weirdly specific 3-year deal. not a surprise that they want to keep him. I mean, this was a move that they made, a high upside move, low risk move for the Pistons. But a 3-year deal, that coming out already. And it's not like it's a, you know, 4-year deal, or, you know, it's 3 years specifically. It just strikes me as a little odd.
Yeah. So this, when we hear something, you either hear we're going to re-sign a guy, or you hear we're going to re-sign a guy to a max deal, or, you know, a 4-year contract, you know, as many years as we can, whatever it becomes. Saying 3 years to me leads to, and I'm not trying to start a whole tampering nonsense. He's their own free agent. They can have conversations if they want. It leads me to believe there's already something in place. And there's a secondary reason I believe that. Because to keep Marvin Bagley on their books, just keep his free agent rights, whether they make him restricted or not, that's a $28 million cap hold, and that eats up all their flexibility. If they already have, hey, we're going to do I'm just making the numbers up, but a 3-year, $30 million deal with a first-year salary of, you know, $9 million-ish, then what the Pistons can do is they then, for them to say, all right, we've got you locked in at that, resign him as soon as it's open, removes that big cap hold, or they could even renounce him fully
to your spending,
and then know they've got that deal, and then sign him using cap space if that's the way they wanted to go. But one way or the other, my guess is they've already got something lined up here, because I think Marvin Bagley maybe found a home in Detroit. He played pretty well with the Pistons, so that's where I think this one's headed.
In terms of order of operations, does it matter really if they use cap space or if they just sign him right off the bat? Like if they wait, if they renounce him and wait versus I mean, they're going to be under the cap, does it matter which route they go?
Depends on what else they're doing and what else you have to line up, but not in general, no. Well, if that's the route you're going, it doesn't really matter, just whether because he's taking up the same salary slot anyway. Those things matter if it's a guy who's coming off like a super tiny cap hold, then you wait and you sign that guy last because you let that little cap hold sit. In this case, he's going to take up the amount of space he wants to take up. The whole idea is just you got to get that $28 million cap hold off the books one way or another, so that way you're moving forward, you know, in the direction of, all right, let's get this guy, you know, signed and locked up and bring him back. So you know, we'll see, but you know, and maybe it's an even lower number, you know, maybe it's 7 or 8 million, and then, you know, that's, you know, just adds to the Pistons cap space. But this tells me the reporting around a 3-year deal is, it's just so specific that I gotta believe there's already something kind of laid out in place.
Absolutely. Okay, CJ McCollum wants to retire. with the Pelicans. And I
liked your little pause there. I was like, wait, somebody's like, wants to retire?
Period. The end. He's retiring. he is not just retired. He wants to retire with the Pelicans. And when I saw this, I first went, he's not that old. It just tells you that he's going to stay long term. Mm-hmm. And so CJ McCollum obviously likes where he's at with the Pelicans, likes what they've got going there. And again, they've, even if, let's say this series ends, right? Tonight, the series is over and the Suns send the Pelicans home. It still, I think, was a pretty successful playoff run.
Sure.
For the Pelicans. I think they've shown a lot. They've left the Suns kind of reeling at a few points. There were some moments where they put a little bit of fear into the best team in the NBA over the course of the regular season. So there's a lot they could walk away from this from feeling good about. And so CJ McCollum saying, hey, I want to stay here. I want to commit long term. I want to retire as a Pelican. Like those types of things, those are positive things for an organization that just a couple seasons ago didn't look like one where a lot of players would want to go play.
Well, it's also very, very important to send a message to other players on the Pelicans, Zion Williamson, maybe, perhaps, of like, hey, I'm going to be here. And like Brandon Ingram is signed long term. They gave Valanciunas the extension and have him coming back. Larry Nance they've got for another year. They've got the guys that they hit on, Herb Jones, and then Jose Alvarado off his two-way. So they've really got some of their building blocks in place. And McCollum saying, hey, I'm going to – it's also – little interest. He's got two more years left on his current extension anyway. Mm-hmm. So this would start with the 24-25 season. But it really is one of those things where I think, hey, I'm just letting everybody know, if you sign a new contract that's going to take you out, you know, 4, 5, 6 years after you ink that deal, I'm going to be here. I will be here with you. And that's important, you know, I think for a franchise like the Pelicans to have that kind of buy-in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is important, and I think it's a good sign for them moving forward. I think McCollum has fit very well with them, and I'm curious to see what he can look like partnering with Zion Williamson. Throw Ingram into the mix. Agreed. They've got other pieces there, too. Could be pretty good.
Yep.
Could be pretty good. All right. Keith, you want to do it? Let's get into to your next series here, Celtics and Bucks. It is now official. We also know that Chris Middleton will be out for the entire series. That's a big blow for the Milwaukee Bucks. So why don't we just go to you off the top on this before I give my thoughts, since you're the Celtics guy here, even though I am supporting you wearing a green shirt today. Maybe it's Bucks green. I don't know. I don't know.
it does lean more Bucks green color, but it's okay.
But
we'll take it.
In any event, Celtics Bucks going against Giannis Antetokounmpo, perennial MVP candidate, multi-time MVP. How are you feeling going into this series?
Yeah, for the Celtics, they catch a break here with Chris Middleton being out. There's no other way to put it. He is the Bucks. People look at me a little weird when I say this. Giannis is obviously the Bucks' best creator of everything, but he just Giannis does it like a bulldozer, right? A bulldozer is going to create a hole, create space. It's going to create whatever it needs. That's Giannis. Middleton is their guy you throw the ball to. He's going to get you an off the dribble shot or something like that. Drew Holiday is good at that. He's not as good as it is Chris Middleton is, especially looking to score for himself. If you look at and watch the Bucks historically, late clock, Middleton's the guy who gets the ball with under five on the shot clock and has to find something, whether it's a shot for himself or a driving kick or whatever it is. So that is a massive loss because what they'll do, I don't know the big against the Bulls without him. They went with Bobby Portis in his place in the starting group. I don't know that you can do that against Boston because Boston can match that size because of how big Jason Tatum is on the wing. As well as Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart can defend any of those guys too in their switching system. So I think they're going to have to go to one of the shooters, whether it be Pat Connaughton in there or Grayson Allen in that starting group. I think that's where you have to go and hope Holiday and Giannis can create enough for you and you kind of rebalance yourself in that way. I think this is, I already thought this series was going to be a rock fight. I think it's going to be an even rockier rock fight, I guess. I don't know the best way to put that, but this might be a throwback. We might see some 95, 90 scores and those kind of things, because these are two very good defensive teams. And I think Milwaukee knows the way we're going to have to do this is we're going to have to slow this down, because I just don't know how they're going to create enough offense. So when you can't struggle to create offense, you shorten the game by eliminating possessions.
Yeah, and that's going to be the challenge for the Bucks without Middleton, is they rely on him so much to be that bail them out guy if a possession's not going well. And for most teams in the NBA, that is your star, right? That's the guy. Mm-hmm. Like if the Lakers are struggling with possession, the ball goes to LeBron James. If the Mavs are struggling, right, they're just not creating, the ball goes to Luka. Luka, this is your job to create this shot with 4 seconds left or whatever. That's not really the way the Bucks operate. So it'll be interesting to see how they try to get around that. But when I'm looking at this series, I think it really comes down to, number one, what does Boston do against Giannis? And I think they've got the personnel with Al Horford and Robert Williams back to kind of, you know, to quote what Stan Van Gundy, build an effing wall, right? They can do that at the rim. Is Giannis' three-point shot hitting? If that, obviously that's a game changer if it is, but if it's not, I think Boston has the pieces to make things difficult on him in the interior. And then on the flip side, do the Bucks have the wing defenders to deal with Tatum and Brown? I think you can deal with one of them. You could use perhaps Giannis on one of them, but do you have somebody who can take the other one? I think that's going to be a big question mark. Like Wes Matthews, is he a guy that you can rely on to do that? He's only 6'4". Does he really have the size to do something like that? Bobby Portis, can he switch out effectively? I think that's going to be a big question mark for this series as well, because that's one area in terms of just pure wing defenders. Obviously, we look at Antetokounmpo, but without Middleton, do they have the wing defense necessary to slow down those guys? And I don't know that they do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, that's the other side of losing Middleton. He's a very good defender with good size, and you're absolutely right. We saw when the Nets put Bruce Brown on Jason Tatum. Tatum went to work inside on him. Then he became much more of a driver. My guess is that's what he'll do against Wesley Matthews as well, is he'll just go to work on him. Now Drew Holiday can take one of those guys, but then you're on the risk of the same thing that the Nets ran into, is then you're stashing Grayson Allen, who also starts a lot of the time. So when he does, or he plays quite a bit, you're running the risk of now we got to play him on one of the bigs, and then that becomes a problem. That's where the Celtics get you. They kind of get you in rotation with stuff, because they don't give you a lot of outs. They don't have easy outs for guarding or for any of those things. So I think the challenge becomes for the Bucks is how do we rebalance ourselves to get these things in position? And I think that's going to be the thing on both ends of the floor. I just think I was leading Boston anyway in the series, and I was leading Boston in 7 before the Middleton news. I'm now going to pick Boston in 5.
Yeah.
I think they're going to lock up the Bucks enough offensively. They're going to struggle. And I think the Celtics will find enough offense, because the other thing is, the Bucks are back to that drop coverage style with Brook Lopez. They're just going to switch, and then attack him and get. They're content to pull up for those mid-range pull-up jumpers, and it's going to be really hard. So that's going to be my pick, is Celtics in 5. And it's not that I'm that confident. I just don't see how Milwaukee creates enough offense in this series.
That was my take as well, was also to go Boston in five. And it's not necessarily that I don't believe in the Bucks or anything. This is a championship team. I think they can get it done here. But, I mean, the big problem that they've got is without Middleton, if you are, you're either too big or you're too small. You're one or the other. If you've got Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis out of the court like they did against the Bulls, you're too big and you're going to get circles run around you and you're going to get switch hunted and you're going to be in trouble there. If you bring in anybody else, it's Javon Carter, Pat Connaughton, Grayson Allen, you're too small. You're too small now. And so no matter what, you've got a matchup problem. No matter what rotation, what lineup you turn to, it could turn out that Giannis is just so good that it doesn't matter. But I tend to think that's not how this is going to play out. And so again, I'm going Celtics in five in this.
Yeah, that is the fear, is that Giannis is going to have one of those all-time series and really kind of carry guys and do his thing. I think this is one where we look back and we all collectively say, man, Giannis dominated that, but his team still lost in that. You know, it is what it is, and you know, off we went. So, yeah, that's my pick. But yeah, that's where I think we're headed.
All right. Well, front runners.
I will have far more in depth thoughts on Celtics blog if anybody wants to follow beyond our minutes here. But we're kind of up against time today.
Yeah. Front runners, give us your thoughts on that series in the comments down below. Once again, I'll drop the link for our room for tomorrow night for Grizzlies versus Wolves. Make sure you come join us there. Once again, get in early because they do cap the room. So come join us and you'll be able to watch the game directly. Don't need to have your TV on, your phone on, or any of that. You can watch the game directly with us in this room and we'll be talking all throughout the game, taking your questions, comments. It's going to be a lot of fun on the front office cast. Till next time, everybody.
Trevor. Draft. NFL draft today. Eat your pancakes.
That's right. You pancake-eating MF-er.
NFL draft today. Little aside. For anybody else who, like me, is a New England Patriots fan, it was just released. Their estimated time of their first pick is 10:50 p.m. Oh. So you'll be able to go to bed probably around 11 p.m. knowing the Patriots have traded back and out of the first round entirely, because that is what they do. So, but eat your pancakes. Then I'll clean it up there and leave the quote clean the rest of the way.
Vontae Mack, no matter what. Everybody, enjoy the NFL draft tonight. I know I'm going to. There is some NBA basketball on as well that we'll be checking out.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a thing as well. But let's go Raptors. We all want to see this game seven. Let's go Raptors. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.